Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this. Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spreads, totals, and player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In app only.
One Columbus.
Good afternoon. I'm Tyler Danberg. Eight Buckeyes were named AP All-Americans today. On the first team, Jeremiah Smith, Caden McDonald, Arvell Reese, and Caleb Downs. Second team, Carnell Tate and Sonny Styles. And on the third team, Julian Sand and Caden Curry. ESPN reported Cincinnati quarterback Brandon Sorsby will enter the transfer portal after he totaled 36 touchdowns for the Bearcats this season. Florida QB DJ Lagway opts to enter the portal as well. NFL tonight, Dolphins visit the Steelers at 8:15. Around college hoops, Ohio State women's basketball stays at 21st in the AP poll. Buckeyes toast Norfolk State Thursday at 6:30. Golf, Scottie Scheffler won his fourth straight PGA Tour Player of the Year honor, joining Tiger Woods as the second golfer to do so. MLB, the Phillies and outfielder Adolis Garcia are finalizing a one-year $10 million deal. The Twins signed former Silver Slugger Josh Bell to a one-year deal as well. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
It's time to add some spice to your nooner. Nooner. Funny. This is the place where big-time guests, bold opinions, and little cute doggies come together. This is Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus, the number one rated windows and doors in Columbus.
And here we go. Welcome back into Rothman and Ice. I'm Matty Ice. In for AR today is Dylan Tyre, a.k.a. DT. And ladies and gentlemen, back from his vacation, back from the desert, back from doing big things, I'm sure, is the one and only TLC. Fellas, happy Monday, DT. How you feeling today, big dog?
Oh, I am fired up to do this show today. What an NFL Sunday yesterday. So much to talk about. We've got a couple of teams dead and gone. Some players hurt yesterday. My goodness. But yeah, I'm with you. I'm happy to see TLC back in the house wearing that blue jacket sweater.
Look at this guy over there.
Check 1, 2. Does this microphone still work? Back, all right. Baby. I'm back talking on the radio.
What's going on, big dog? How you been?
I'm good, man. I'm not tapping out today. I'm not John Cena, okay?
Okay, listen. Since you brought it up, I do want to get to your vacation. It was a tough watch for me. Watching one of the GOATs go out the way that he did.
Philip Rivers?
Grandpa was out there slinging it to a certain degree. I thought they were going to pull it out. But yes, as a wrestling fan, TLC, since you brought it up, was not happy how John Cena went out. Amazing career, but that moment, just have the man pass out. Don't have him tap out. I get Gunther's a beast, but that's my spiel on that. TLC, how was your time off? How was Arizona? How was the fam and all that good stuff?
Well, that was all great. Now, the first half of my off week was ruined by one of the most corrupt things I've ever seen in sports by the College Football Playoff Committee. And the second half of my off week was ruined by the Seattle Seahawks ever so rudely ruining all my fun with Philip Rivers, even though he was not very good. But I was going to come in here with my Chargers, Philip Rivers, color rush jersey from back in the day. I was so ready to go, but that got ruined yesterday. But no, man, Arizona was a lot of fun. I'd never been out there before, so not to gong myself already here in the first 5 minutes of the show. We've talked about my cousin being an assistant coach on the Cardinals, so got to go to the stadium. The stadium is so cool.
Yeah,
I didn't even know that the roof opened, and so I literally had no idea. But it was cool. The weather was great. It was.
What were the temps out there?
Midday was high 60s.
Oh, that's perfect.
And then at the end of the day, it was probably about 40 degrees. So there were a lot of people out there who thought it was freezing, where I'm like, when it got to 40 degrees at night, I'm like, okay, it's a little bit chilly, but like, you guys are making too big of a deal out of this.
Yeah.
But, and then the mornings were kind of brisk, but like in a good way, but for them it was freezing, but the weather was great. I hiked a mountain. It was, I saw a cactus for the first time in real life.
Okay.
So, it was a really cool experience. A lot of family time. My cousin's got 4 kids, 7 and under. So, dude, I got 6'7" within 5 minutes of walking into that house.
It's everywhere.
I'm not kidding. Like,
I thought we were done with it. I'm stumbling into it. It's literally everywhere, fellas. I don't know if this has a finish line. Like, I really don't. I think we're just stuck with this thing.
Too big.
Until the end of time. But no, man, good to see you. Glad you had a good time out there. DT, how was your weekend, my man?
Oh, it was terrific. Blue Jackets played on Saturday. I was there for that. I had a little bit of family in town this weekend, so spent some time with them. And then just a great, great day of NFL watching yesterday.
Beautiful,
I was locked in from start to finish.
Yeah, it was really good stuff. As you mentioned, some crazy injuries going on that are going to have, should be maybe some major impacts on the postseason and all of that, which we will get into throughout the show. 2 o'clock today. Ian Fitzsimmons will join us, college football for ESPN. Got a lot to unpack with him, with just a lot of big names now in the transfer portal at the most important position today around college football. We'll hit him up on the Michigan stuff as well. Then at 2:30, Adam King, the man that sits on the Iron Throne for 10TV, will stop by as well. If you miss anything from our show, don't worry. You can always catch up wherever you get your podcast. All you have to do is type in Rothman and Ice. Everything we do from noon to 3. We'll be waiting there for you. Subscribe to the podcast as well. The wonderful folks at Bet365 are the sponsor of the Rothman and Ice podcast. Quick, just reminder, tomorrow at 1 o'clock, we will do The Floor is Yours. Because of the Coach Diebler show on Mondays now, obviously our first hour is taken up by him and Buckeye basketball, so we will slide that to tomorrow. So looking forward to hearing from you guys there. My weekend consisted of watching John Cena go out bad, and then I watched the
newest. Do you believe him that he's done?
I do.
He sounds very honest, but we all know
how wrestlers can get with that. He signed.
I'm not even a wrestler. I don't know why I'm the one who's like interjecting with all these wrestling thoughts. No. I don't even watch this.
It's fair to bring it up because dudes have retired a lot, and then you hear them come back and they try to get the WrestleMania check or whatever it may be. But he signed like a 5-year brand ambassador deal with WWE, so he'll be around doing some stuff. But I think he's done in the ring. So I watched that on Saturday, and then I did watch the newest Knives Out movie. I think I was mentioning that to
you did.
Over the weekend. And I got this hot take, and I am not the movie guy, so let me say this first. But I think the Knives Out trilogy has to be one of the best in movie history.
Really?
When you look at the collective actors and actresses in these movies, these all-star casts, and how well the storylines are, I'm going to put the Knives Out trilogy up against anyone in movie history. Now, AR will be back tomorrow.
Anyone.
And I'm sure he'll dunk on me for this take.
They did make 3 Godfather movies.
But I
didn't say any of them, but they did make them.
I think when
third one stinks.
When we look back, I think the Knives Out series is going to go up against anyone that you want to put up against my take right now. I think it's that good of a movie series. I was that entertained by the newest one. It's out there on Netflix. If you want to check it out, I highly suggest it. Have you seen any of them?
Yeah, so I do enjoy movies. I've seen quite a few. To say the Knives Out trilogy is up there with the greatest of all time, I don't know if I would go that far. They are extremely entertaining films, though, which is all you want around the holidays, right? You sit down with the family, everybody's cozy on the couch, you got the heater going. It's awesome. I liked the first Knives Out. The second one, again, I thought it was entertaining. I didn't think it was nearly as good as the first. Where would you rate this third one among the previous two?
I would go 1-3-2. So Glass Onion would be third. This one, Wake Up Dead Man, Knives Out Mystery to Wake Up Dead Man, I would put second.
All right,
the first one was really, really good. So look, the movie guy.
Is it Daniel Craig in all three?
Yes, okay. He's the detective in all three of these. And so I just love the cast, how they're put together, and I'm watching all the YouTube breakdowns of all the stuff.
Really?
It's like, I'm in.
All right.
Like, I'm totally in. Because here's the thing. When you get past the second movie, a lot of times it can get dicey for a movie series. And they, to me, haven't missed yet. They haven't let me down after 3. So there's my spicy take for today. Have you watched any of these movies, TLC?
I did see the first one, and I liked it. I didn't see the second one. That has Batista in
it,
right?
Yes, Dave Batista's in that one.
More wrestling talk from me.
Yeah.
Well, we're hitting our expiration date on this because I'm running out of material. But did not see the second one, but I have heard good things about it.
Josh Brolin in this one, Kerry Washington in this one. The cast is really, really good, as they always are. So there's my hot take. Dunk on me in the chat, which I'm sure people are doing already on YouTube. We did finally find out who was going to be the Heisman winner. No surprise. We all knew where this was going. I think the intrigue, at least for me, fellas, was where the voting was going to go. And it was a massive landslide in the favor of Fernando Mendoza. First place votes went like this. Fernando got 643. Diego Pavia got 189. Jeremiah Love, TLC's got 46. And then Julian Sayin got 8. Your thoughts on how that kind of laid out for us on Saturday night?
I'm honestly maybe a little bit surprised that Julian Sayin didn't get more love when it came to the voting. But obviously, I get it. We always kind of said that it felt like the Heisman was going to come down to that Big Ten championship game. And of course, Indiana wins the game. So Fernando Mendoza wins the Heisman going away there. The Diego Pavia stuff I thought was very intriguing, right? I was kind of surprised to see Pavia finish so high, but he wasn't very happy with that. He said, F the voters and F Indiana. I will say my prediction on our show last week saying, hey, those club promoters better be ready for Diego Pavia turned out to be true because that guy was firing in New York City.
He was in the streets. He was getting popping bottles in the club, throwing up middle fingers to everybody and all that good stuff. But yeah, I was surprised with you that Julian only got 8 first place votes, especially when you look at not only his individual success, but the team he was attached to as well. And look, you're splitting hairs with all these guys because the numbers are incredible for all 4. Jeremiah Love, just a home run hitter at the running back position. Pavia, his dual threat ability. I totally understand that. But as we talked about over the last couple of weeks when it came to the Heisman, Julian's going to have another at-bat at this, right? Mm-hmm. And even before we get to that, he's got to be where his feet is. They got big-time games coming up next, and I'm sure this has still got to be a tremendous honor, right? Year one, you're going to New York, you're a finalist there with a national championship pathway in front of you, and then a whole nother year after that. And so I'm sure maybe there was a little disappointment there for him, but overall, I don't think he should be too disappointed. Diego Pavia, man, he's just, look, like him or not, he's true to himself, and he doesn't care what anybody thinks about him. And part of me admires that in people, but you just can't come out and say blank the voters and all that stuff. He did apologize yesterday, so he moonwalked off the take and cleaned it up a little bit.
He is so committed to the bit. Yeah. It is unbelievable to the point that I kind of respect it, right? Well, like, the stuff that he's saying is completely classless. Like, come on. Did you really think you were going to win the Heisman Trophy? But it kind of started. Did you see any of the clips on social media, TLC, where they had him doing a bracket? They had all of the Heisman finalists do a bracket of the best college football players of all time. In the first thing, the first question, it was like Johnny Manziel versus Reggie Bush or whoever it was. And he goes, no, neither one, me. Like, the guy is just so committed.
He didn't understand that it was a bracket.
Mm-hmm.
He thought that it was just, hey, who do you think is the best? Yeah. And he just said, oh, not the, me. And then they're like, no, he's a bracket. It's, oh, okay. So, but he kind of seems like, I don't know if this is intentional, but like he's trying to become this generation's Johnny Manziel.
100%.
Which I don't, that feels like a knockoff act.
Yeah, but you know what?
I'm not saying he's not a character and that he doesn't have a big personality of his own.
Yeah.
But it kind of seems like he's trying to like replicate that.
He's being a caricature of Johnny Manziel.
Yes. Yeah. You guys are right. Here's what I'll say though. Guys like that usually find themselves in situations to where you can make a nice amount of money, right? Being that guy, people always want to hear from you and you can do this and do that and build your own brand off of stuff like that. Kind of being that villain. So look, at the end of the day, it's always going to come down to ball. I don't think he has an NFL career, but I could be wrong.
No, give me. I need to see him backing up Jackson Dart next year.
Oh, my goodness.
Pavia, Dart, Scadaboo, come on.
The aura would be ridiculous between the three of those guys. Coming up, one possible candidate to take over at Michigan tells them, I think I'm good where I'm at. We'll give you the latest next. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
Fired up. Is it Monday? It must be Reaction Monday.
Sponsored by the Roofing Guys.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this. Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spreads, totals, and player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In app only.
If you have an unhealthy obsession with the Blue Jackets, we have just the remedy. Join us Wednesday nights at 7 for the Inside Edge. All the Jackets and hockey conversation you can handle. The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Mostly sunny skies today, but don't let that fool you. Daytime highs will be in the 20s with our feels like at or below the zero mark. Partly cloudy with lows tonight in the teens, and with calmer winds, not as much of a wind chill, but still pretty chilly with that snow on the ground. And then for Tuesday, more sunshine and warmer as highs finally get above the freezing mark. I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Bet365, the official online sports book of Rothman and Ice. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Matty is a diehard Reds fan. I mean, where else is he going to go? You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
Welcome back in. Happy holidays to y'all. Thanks for your time. As always, Dylan Tyer in the house today for our guy AR. TLC back in the building as well. Hope everybody had a nice weekend. Before we get to the latest happenings in Michigan and their coaching search, DT, the transfer portal is popping today, especially at the most important position. So just in the last few minutes, Pete Thamel reports that Nebraska's quarterback Dylan Raiola intends to enter the transfer portal. We found out earlier this morning that Florida's quarterback DJ Lagway is hitting the portal as well. Michigan State quarterback Aiden Childs, who's got some talent to him, he's now in the portal. And then Cincinnati's starting quarterback and Brendan Sorsby has hit the portal as well. So a lot of happenings right now in the portal. The interesting one for me is Sorsby, just because I wouldn't be surprised if he goes back to Indiana. He's kind of seen what's been going on there with Curtis Rourke and then Fernando Mendoza, who just won the Heisman and maybe the first overall pick. Sorsby was at Indiana before, and so that won't surprise me if he ends up there, which I wouldn't blame him for with the momentum that they have. But, yes, some pretty big names, DT, hitting the portal today at the quarterback position.
Yeah, it's nuts. I mean, I'm looking at where some of these guys might be projected to go or the places that have interest, and it's, you know, oh, it's going to depend on if Ty Simpson wants to transfer from Alabama. It's like, oh, my God, like, is every quarterback deciding to go elsewhere? I guess you got to keep your options open in today's market. But, you know, Sam Levitt, for me, is one that's really interesting.
Good call.
From Arizona State. He was a guy going into this season that people were talking about as being, you know, one of the top NFL draft prospects going forward, a very talented player at the quarterback position. And, you know, now it's if Dante Moore declares and leaves for the NFL, maybe Oregon is a potential landing spot for Sam Levitt. So it's all really interesting. Is it just kind of forecasting where these guys could go and how quickly you could see a place change, like we saw it with Texas Tech this past year, bringing a bunch of guys in and what their defense has been able to do this season. Yeah. That's a program that was kind of perpetually in that, you know, 10, 12 to 25 range, and you bring in some transfers and you're a top four team in the country. Now you could bring in one of these big time quarterbacks, lure them with some of this money they've got there. It's crazy now that these teams that are kind of middling could get themselves right in the mix, right as a big part of the conversation. So it's exciting seeing all these guys out there.
I like it. I like kind of the energy around it with the kind of the free agency vibe that you're getting from this, because I'm just a sucker for free agency in any sport. Like, I just love just big time names or, you know, pieces that can be significant to teams moving around. I like refreshing the sport. Like, I'm always here for that. So yeah, you mentioned Texas Tech. They've got that oil money down there that they can throw around in the NIL world. And we're already seeing the impact that they're having in the recruiting world as well. And then some of these guys, I'm sure too, are looking down there at Baton Rouge and some of the things that Lane Kiffin has done and how fun his offenses can be and a lot of the productivity that quarterbacks have had under Lane Kiffin's watch. I wouldn't be surprised if some of those guys want to go there. So that is the latest. We'll talk to Ian Fitzsimmons about that more at the top of the hour today, because I'm sure he's got some takes on that as well. So going into the weekend, DT, one of the names that we heard a lot about as far as the next guy up to follow Sherrone Moore after, I guess, this dust settles and all this mess clears up for them was Kalen DeBoer. And there seemed to be a lot of people that were connecting the dots and all of those things. Well, we got a statement from Kalen DeBoer, and I think this is calculated because Kalen DeBoer is scheduled today to meet with, I think, some of the media down there in Tuscaloosa to get ready for their game. I'm sure that obviously they're at their site already, but he was scheduled to have some media availability. So what happens? I think a savvy move is I'm throwing out a statement before we even get down there, right? Before you guys can talk to me. And here's the statement. My family and I are very happy in Tuscaloosa and remain extremely grateful for the support of our president. We have an incredible opportunity in front of us, so my sole focus is on Alabama football and our preparations to play Oklahoma in the college football playoff. I have not spoken and have no interest in speaking with anyone else about any other job. I am fully committed to this program and look forward to continuing as the head coach at the University of Alabama. What do you think of that, DT?
Well, for me, I never even really considered, hey, Kalen DeBoer is going to be the guy that says, yeah, I'm going to look into some other things. I feel like it would be Alabama feeling the pressure to fire Kalen DeBoer, right? Based off of how things go this season. But what you and I talked about on Friday was, sure, a rocky start for Alabama this year. Three losses, but they end up in the college football playoff. To me, that saves Kalen DeBoer there. Mm-hmm. Why would Michigan be a better job than Alabama? I don't know. Maybe a little bit less heat. More money potentially, but Alabama is one of the prime jobs in college football. And, you know, Now, maybe a little bit less so. Nick Saban, when he was there, they're the number one team in college football. That is the place to be. Maybe now it's more so Ohio State or a place like Georgia. For Kalen DeBoer, I don't think it makes any sense to leave Alabama. You've got all the resources you could possibly need there. For me, it's, hey, Alabama has had enough of this guy. Let's go in a different direction. But at this point, who are you going to bring in, right?
Yeah, no, I'm completely with you on that. And look, you're so right to bring up playoff in year two, right? And you look at one of the important building blocks you have to have as a coach, and that's recruiting. He's got the number one ranked recruiting class in the SEC for 2020.
It seems pretty good.
He's got the momentum going that I think you want. And you got to remember, too, a lot of the guys that were there that were key contributors or were going to be key contributors were Saban guys. Mm-hmm. And they said, you know what? We kind of respect who you are, Kalen DeBoer, but when your guy leaves, you can understand why guys want to look elsewhere. And that happened for them. So that's a major reset that had to happen. And now here they are with a chance to play for a national championship. We'll see if they can get there. And it starts this Friday with Oklahoma. And that game should be really good. I was looking at the line today and Bama's favored by a point. So essentially a pick 'em in Vegas is mine. But this is also a guy as well that led Washington to a national championship mm-hmm. game. And so I think you just got to let this guy cook. And so, look, we've seen guys go back on their word. We just watched Matt Campbell sign an extension, I believe, in June or July of this year with Iowa State, and now he's over at Penn State. So things can change in the blink of an eye, as we all know. I did see this coming from Vegas. Vegas is looking at Jed Fish right now, Dylan, as the guy that could be next in line. He's minus 175 to be Michigan's next head football coach. Another name that was brought up over the weekend was Kenny Dillingham. And you start to see some of the rumblings that were out there that maybe now Arizona State and Kenny Dillingham are coming back to the table to figure out maybe some new money and an extension. And so that's the game that some of these coaches have played this offseason. We've seen some extensions goes out to guys that maybe were going to be, you know, LSU's coach or Florida's coach before Kiffin and all those guys took those jobs. But Jed Fish was a guy that was at Michigan for a little bit of time, I think back in 2015 as an offensive coach. And so Washington's guy may be the next guy to take over in Michigan, according to Vegas right now.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they went in that direction. You know, he's an established coach, a guy that did pretty good things at Washington this year, right? Like, I thought the Huskies were a very solid team and probably didn't get as much respect as they deserve this season. Another name that's around the conversation that I find interesting is Jesse Minter, the defensive coordinator for the Chargers. He had that same role at Michigan for a year or two. Younger guy, up-and-comer, coming from the NFL, I could see that happening, depending on if that's what he wants to do.
Is there a bit of a PR, maybe not nightmare, but is that a little murky as far as a guy that was around for the Stallion stuff coming back? Is that tough to sell, in your opinion?
Potentially. I'm hearing that there's a lot of NIL interest, though, now that Sherrone Moore is gone. Like, these boosters for Michigan are very interested in getting kind of an up-and-comer. I guess you could say that, right? That this guy was there during all of that. Does that matter so much there? Do they want to completely wipe the slate clean? Are they looking at this Sherrone Moore thing differently as separate from all of the other stuff that happened while he was still there with Harbaugh? That's all tough to say, right? I don't know how they're thinking at the University of Michigan. For me, I think you need to hire a good up-and-coming coach and really try and build something. So is that a guy like Jed Fish? Is that a guy like Eli Drinkwitz, who I guess his name is in the conversation too? Kenny Dillingham, you and I talked about that on Friday. I think that is the most exciting name out there. If I'm a Michigan booster or an alum that's, you know, into this coaching search, he's a guy that made the college football playoff last year at a place that doesn't have the same resources as Michigan. But it's late in this cycle, so whatever they get, I'm just not so sure.
When it comes to Kenny Dillingham, what's interesting to me is a name you brought up as far as a guy that hit the portal, and that's his guy.
Yeah,
his starting quarterback. So why is Sam Leavitt hitting the portal when he's been with a coach that he's had success with? And so that maybe it is just a money grab. Who knows? Maybe, you know, people are in his ear and saying, hey, over here, we've got more money for you. But that's an interesting nugget for me. It has been when it came to that scenario, because you would think that, hey, this works, right? Mm-hmm. We're out here in the desert. We're playing at a high level. This is a guy that knows me well. I work well within his offense and all of those things. So that's something to watch there. But Dillingham is one of these young and up and coming guys that people see a lot of, you know, good time stuff coming on the way as far as his future based off of what he built there. And so that's still floating out there. It seems like it's a possibility. But again, Vegas is looking at Jed Fish right now. And to your point, you look at what he was able to do at Washington. Maybe that's an easy translation. And maybe you could connect the dots in your mind if you're people up there in Ann Arbor that this guy could do his thing up there. But yeah, as far as this weekend goes, this Bama Oklahoma game, man, it's going to be awesome to see. I cannot wait to just see what Bama can bring to the table, because last time we saw them, it was all right, right? It was okay in that Iron Bowl, and we'll see if any of this stuff with Kalen DeBoer is any type of distraction. But I do think it's good on him to come out over the weekend and kind of put it to bed for now. And for me, I'm always just going to leave that for now and kind of that door open, because coaches can always backtrack, and when the dust settles and their season is over,
yeah,
their agent comes to them and says, listen, man, I know what you said, but listen, they got maybe $10, $11 million up there for you. People can change their minds, as we know.
Yeah, I mean, what if Alabama loses badly this coming weekend, right? That could completely change the situation.
No doubt about it. Coming up here in 2 minutes, we're going down to the Natty, because the vibes around the Cincinnati Bengals are obviously bad, and one of their star players is talking about potential changes. We'll get into that next. It's Rothman and Ice.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this. Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spreads, totals, and player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In app only.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Anthony finally hit a hole in one.
It's in the hole.
So now what? Just bask in the glory?
And that's how she wrote.
You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
That you are. Welcome back in. Dylan Tyer in the house today for our guy AR. TLC back on the board. Hope everybody had a nice weekend. So one of the biggest storylines of last week was the comments from Joe Burrow, right? And your QB1 coming out and saying, actually, let's just play it. Before we move forward and what happened yesterday, let's go to these comments from Joe Burrow, because it kind of shook the room just a little bit for Bengal fans a week ago.
No, it certainly doesn't change my desire to win. You know, if I want to keep doing this, I have to have fun doing it. You know, I've been through a lot, and if it's not fun, then what am I doing it for?
So yesterday obviously wasn't fun for him or the team or the fan base. And I want to start with this. Bad look by the franchise. I don't know if you guys saw this, that they didn't clear the seats off for your fans coming in, where it's already feeling like it's 5 degrees outside and snow everywhere, and people are walking into the stadium and it's snow all on the seats. Like, come on, man. This just kind of adds to some of the things that we hear about the franchise. And when, like, the player report cards or the team report cards came out and they were getting, like, a D or an F for how they treat the family and the cafeteria and all that stuff, these are the things that are attached to this franchise that I'm sure have to drive Bengal fans nuts. And that's even before we get to the football and just where this team is right now. And then you got former Bengal running back Zach Moss coming out and saying, I've been telling everybody this is easily the worst franchise in sports, not even in the NFL, but in sports. And so right now, just the energy around all of this is just really, really bad. And that's before we even get to some of the stuff we saw on the field yesterday.
Yeah, man, if I were a Cincinnati Bengals fan, I would be so frustrated right now, because it's almost been a dirty little secret, right, that some of this stuff underneath the surface is so bad. You talked about, you know, the reports that come out with the NFLPA where, oh, here are the report cards, the players saying this about the Cincinnati Bengals when it comes to that stuff behind the scenes. It was always masked by the product on the field in that offense in particular, right? Maybe even three players in particular, Joe Burrow, T. Higgins, and Ja'Marr Chase. For me, when I saw the thing about the snow being left on the seats yesterday, that's embarrassing. Yeah. Like, I was angry as somebody that is not a Bengals fan. It's like, What are we doing
here? They deserve
here?
So much more.
The Buffalo Bills a couple years ago said, hey, we'll give you $20 an hour to come on down. Anybody, come have fun. Let's sweep the snow off all the seats. Let's make this a fun thing. They couldn't get it done in Cincinnati. You couldn't figure out how to get the snow off the seats for your fans to watch a huge game in your season. Yeah. And then you go and lay an egg in the game.
Right.
It's extremely frustrating. And then if on top of that, if I'm a Bengals fan and I hear what Joe Burrow had to say last week, I'm like, what's going on here, man? Yeah. What's going on?
Yeah.
And he comes out today, he clarifies the comments. He said, what I said wasn't aimed at the Cincinnati Bengals. It was more so me and my playing career. Are you sure about that? Because a lot of what you're talking about has to do with winning football games. You're going to have fun if you're winning football games. And if you're not, then hey, hang them up, man, or figure it out. Take a season off, something. That to me, it's all about the Cincinnati Bengals right now. It just sounds like it's a complete mess down there. And can we get in the trust tree for a minute? Is that okay with you guys?
Do your thing. We're here. Yeah.
I'm a little bit sick of Joe Burrow.
Oh.
Okay. I'm kind of sick of the whole nonchalant and then launching the comments like this. He was very accountable after this game against the Ravens. Mm-hmm. They lost 24-0. He said, hey, this starts with me. If you want to be a serious team winning playoff games, competing for the playoffs, number one, it has to start with the quarterback, and I wasn't nearly good enough in this game. Okay, but come on. Like, let's get real.
Let me play the clips that you're referencing because I'm glad that you brought it up. Here's Joey B on the comment that he made about not having fun, and as DT mentioned, maybe that not being directly a shot at the front office.
My comments had nothing to do with Cincinnati. My comments had everything to do with me and my mindset and football.
Okay, so there's that, and here he is on his performance yesterday.
Yeah, when your quarterback plays like that, your team's not going to have a chance to win. So that one's on me. Obviously disappointed in my play today, so I got to be better.
So there's some ownership, right? And it was just a wild scene yesterday. That was the first time the Bengals have been shut out in a game where Joey B was under center. So just the offense really didn't bring much to the table at all. No surprising, especially against a division rival where just a couple weeks ago they looked pretty good. They looked pretty good against the Baltimore Ravens. And he had that odd interception. I don't really know what he was looking at there that turned into a crazy pick six where Vannoy kind of hands that thing off to his teammates and he takes it all the way to the crib. I want to bring this quote to the table because clearly the names on the marquee, the headline names for this franchise are frustrated at this point. And after the game, Ja'Marr Chase was asked about, you know, does he believe that there needs to be some change? And he said, quote, if I had to say so, it would probably be something, but I can only control what I can control. And so when you have a star player throwing that out there, it may not read on the surface as much, but to me, that's a pretty heavy quote coming from Ja'Marr Chase, pretty much saying, if it was up to me, some type of change would happen. And so now we can't help, or I can't help for my mind to go to what type of change would Ja'Marr Chase want at this point? When I just read that quote and you hear that from Ja'Marr Chase, what do you think he's referencing as far as some change he would like to see?
Well, I mean, there has to be so much, right? You need to do a better job protecting the quarterback. The defense is obviously a complete joke. Does all of that start with the head coach? Does all of that start with the person making the moves in the general manager's chair? Does all of that start with the ownership that's there? Because that sounds pretty toxic to me. You know, going back to the leaving the snow on the seats, not being able to pay these players, the contract disputes going into the season. I just feel like it's rotten at a bunch of different levels right now for the Cincinnati Bengals, which is, it's a very difficult thing because this is a team that was in the Super Bowl not that long ago, right? At that point, if you're a Bengals fan, you see what you have and you're thinking, man, this is going to be a team that has some staying power. We've got something moving forward, and it's quickly just deteriorated. These last two seasons, they're getting worse and worse. And I think, listen, as somebody that's away from this situation, if I'm a Bengals fan, I don't want to trade anybody. I don't want to trade Joe Burrow and reset. But realistically, if you're the ownership group there, if you're the management group there, and you're not comfortable with paying some of these guys, does a Joe Burrow trade come into mind? Let's get the money off the books. Hey, maybe a team like the Minnesota Vikings. Mm. They have a young quarterback, maybe a couple first-round picks, maybe somebody on defense. Joe Burrow goes the other way. You can sell that. Hey, we've got a young quarterback to build around. Exciting. Just a thought there, but you have to make change there. Absolutely, there has to be change.
There's no doubt. You cannot keep running yourself into the same brick wall. And to me, that same brick wall is, well, the outlook of the offense is always positive if those guys are healthy because they're one of the best cores of offensive playmakers in the league attached to one of the best quarterbacks in the league. So that can always bring you some warmth as a Bengals fan. But zooming out from that, there's just so much uncertainty of what this future looks like, right? Like, what's really going to happen here with Zach Taylor? I think you're at a point now where that's a fair question to ask, because when you as a front office hear those comments from your quarterback, usually in sports when the franchise player goes down that path, that kind of really shakes the room, or should shake the room, of the front office, because the last thing that they want is to get into this offseason, or maybe they do this for another year, and he just looks around and says, I can't do this anymore. I can't do this anymore. He's already telling you he's not having fun. And so regardless of what he tried to clean up yesterday, I think that's how he really feels and has felt about his time in Cincinnati. One, because of the lack of team success outside of those early couple of years. But then two, also the amount of injuries that he's had to sustain. And I don't know if he feels this way, but I don't know if he really looks around and says, have they really put their best foot forward as far as trying to protect me? Mm-hmm. Up front, year in and year out, I'm getting beat up, and this offensive line just isn't good enough. And so I just think there's some clear doubt in his mind as far as the level of winning he thinks he can attach himself to in Cincinnati. And so they bottom line is, if he's going to stick around, they just have to do obviously a better job of doing things up front in front of him, but also to drafting better, drafting and developing better, because that is the key. When you're in this window and you've paid these guys high-level contracts and all of those things, you got to have young talent that comes in and can hit the ground running. And you look around on Sundays, and there aren't a bunch of those guys suiting up for the black and orange down there in the jungle.
Well, that's the frustrating thing, right? Because if you're not going to pay guys in free agency, then you have to draft and develop, and they don't have that happening either. They don't have those guys coming. So if I'm one of those players down there, I'm seriously thinking, can I win here going forward? Mm-hmm. It doesn't really look like it to me right now.
So you've got now a third straight year, unfortunately, where the Bengals aren't going to be in the playoffs, and this whole situation just shines a light on. I think a lot of times, DT, when we throw out how wide windows look for teams, they're really not that long. And when you get to the dance and you're one of the last two teams standing, you have to cash in. Mm-hmm. They got to the Super Bowl, went to the AFC Championship game after that. And then this sport is just so brutal that it's just, you just, in the blink of an eye, the outlook of your year can change like that because of injury. And then unfortunately with Joey B, you're running into kind of year after year with these injuries. And then the AFC kind of catches up to you. And now here's Drake May and here's some of these other guys. And for a while it was, hey, it's us, Kansas City, Baltimore, and Buffalo. Now there's some other teams that are at the party. And so, yeah, man, it just comes down to obviously him staying healthy. But this front office has, I think, some key decisions to make this offseason as far as the coaching staff, what that looks like and where they want to go moving forward, because you're probably going to lose Trey Hendrickson this offseason too.
Yeah, you have to keep that window open. That's the challenge, right, for all of these teams, is how do we manage to keep this window open? And in a lot of these situations, it's that elite quarterback play. The Chiefs have had that. Yeah. The Bills have had that. The Ravens have had that. And those teams are better outside of just the quarterbacks than the Bengals are. And then you toss in, hey, Joe Burrow keeps getting hurt. It's not a good recipe,
no,
right? That's
formula.
Why they haven't had that staying power.
No doubt. Coming up next, we got a Buckeye Bulletin for you. Big win for the Buckeye basketball team this weekend, and also the 2026 Heisman. We'll name some of the favorites next. This is Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
Unlike your deadbeat uncle, we'll never leave you stranded in a ditch when you were six. This promo may have been a touch too specific. The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle. Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score.
Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In app only.
Join Rothman and Ice every Thursday at 2:30 for Gold Jacket Thursday.
Presented by the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
A new Hall of Famer joins the show every week. But not OJ, because he's dead and probably a murderer. The Fan. All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Rothman and Ice present Buckeye Bulletin.
Sponsored by Logan AC and Heat Services. Don't go through another furnace breakdown. For fast, friendly service, call the experts at Logan Services now for a free estimate and next day furnace installation.
All right, DT, let's knock out a Buckeye Bulletin. Dylan Tyre in the house today for AR. The Cleveland Hoops Showdown. Fun one up there. Double overtime. Bucks get it done. Final score of that one, 89-88. Pushed their record to 8-2 on the year. And you think about the two losses. You had the heartbreaking buzzer beater against Pitt. And then you lose to Illinois after Bruce Thornton has an amazing game. And speaking of Bruce Thornton, Dylan, I mean, this guy, lights out. Brought everything to the floor on Saturday. 49 of 50 minutes from this guy. Unbelievable. That just speaks like the conditioning you have to have. Like, you're around professional athletes all the time over there with the CBJ. But to think about that, like the grind that he went through, 49 of 50 minutes, double overtime. It was crazy. Just another monster game from him.
Yeah, I was listening to that game on the radio, actually, on my drive home from Nationwide Arena on Saturday night. Treacherous drive, by the way, with all the weather.
My goodness.
Great call from Paul Keels there on the winner by Bruce Thornton. Just absolutely insane to think that he played as much as he did. And it's nice to see a guy like that kind of getting his flowers this season, because he's been the heart and soul for these Ohio State Buckeyes. Top 10 in points per game in the nation right now, shooting the lights out from three. The guy does everything for these Ohio State Buckeyes. And, you know, it was a good test against West Virginia. Yeah. It's a good win for Ohio State early on this season.
You mentioned some of the offensive output that he has going on this year. I mean, the fact that he bounced back in the second half the way that he did. He had 2 points going in the locker room.
Crazy.
I mean, 2 points going in to the locker room, and then he comes out in the second half in overtime and has 19. And so, yeah, and it wasn't only that. I mean, this guy, he drew, you know, one of the tougher defensive assignments of the game, too, having to guard Huff on the other end. And so just everything that you could want from your star player, he brought to the floor. And the team as a whole, I mean, they were down 2 touchdowns in this game at one point in time and found a way to get it done. And a guy that's popping real quick is the freshman Bynum. Good game from him, man. That's a guy to where you always feel the energy that he brings, but for him to walk away with the game from the game with 17 points, 9 rebounds, and 3 assists, and 3 blocks to go with a steal, too, like, that's just another complimentary piece. And you know, when you can get into a season and not only have your vets, but can layer in a young guy that you trust as a coaching staff and that is some bringing some good things to the floor, that's what you want. And so here we are, mid to late December, and a guy like Amari Bynum as a freshman comes in and makes an impact. And so just more depth. Good depth is always a good thing.
And that's what we talked about with Adam Jardy on Friday. You know, he had said, and I kind of asked him, do we really need to see a true number two develop for Ohio State? And he said, well, it can be any one of these guys on any given night. So that's a luxury that Ohio State has right now offensively. Mm-hmm. And we'd maybe like to see a little bit more on the defensive side of the floor here. But I think the Buckeyes are trending in a pretty good direction right now. And if you're able to kind of establish yourself and find your identity throughout this Big Ten slate, you know, this team could be dancing.
What's hurt them the last few years has just been conference play.
Yeah.
And so as they ramp up for that, they just have to go in with a bunch of confidence, which I think they're building right now. They'll find out more about themselves this weekend when they face North Carolina. That'll be a 3 o'clock tip on CBS. But then you get into that Big Ten slate of Rutgers and Nebraska, Oregon, Washington. Just kind of hold things together there, DT. Because you don't want to go down that road, right, mentally again as a program, where you just like, oh, God, here we go again, right? And putting yourself behind the eight ball, putting yourself in the corner, because they find a way usually to scratch and claw and make it somewhat interesting later in the year. But a lot of times it's too late.
Yep.
So they just have to try to avoid doing that and cleaning up in the Big Ten. And you look around the conference right now, and yes, it's Nebraska and Michigan, but I think they should have confidence right now that when we get to conference play, we can make some noise this year.
Absolutely. And that's a hot start early in conference play, I think, is always key, right? Because it kind of establishes yourself and it allows you a little bit of breathing room later on, where Ohio State hasn't necessarily been afforded that. You talked about trying to sprint to the finish. Mm-hmm. You can kind of treat it more as a marathon this year and continue building towards the end of the season. I like where this team is going to be, and I think Jake Diebler likes the way the team's trending, too.
He should. He should. Let's look around the corner just a little bit for next year's Heisman guys. And when you think of that race next year, who are a couple guys for you that you're really locked in on that you think could maybe bring that trophy home? Obviously, Julian, but anybody else for you that you're like, that's a guy I can't wait to see with another lap around the track?
Well, Jeremiah Smith again next year.
Yeah.
That's a real possibility. I don't know if I can say anybody right now without seeing how this all shakes out in the transfer portal, because, you know, say DJ Lagway ends up somewhere where he's going to succeed, or maybe Bryce Underwood leaves Michigan and goes somewhere where he could succeed, or maybe one of these guys doesn't declare and comes back. You know, Ty Simpson plays another season at Alabama, or he goes somewhere else. You know, I wouldn't be surprised. Sam Leavitt, if this guy transfers to Oregon, if Dante Moore were to declare and be drafted, and Sam Leavitt goes from Arizona State to Oregon, couldn't you see his name in that conversation next year? Yeah. So I think we have to see how this all shakes out. But for me, I think Julian Sayin's name, Jeremiah Smith's name, they both have to be right at the top of the list.
TLC, I want to bring you in on this. Are the streets sleeping on your boy CJ Carr right now as far as next year's Heisman winner?
CJ Carr is really good, and not like fake Notre Dame good. Like, he's really good. So I think that he's definitely going to have a shot to be up there, especially with a year of starting under his belt already. I'm trying to come up with other names. I guess the, and if you already mentioned it, forgive me, Arch.
Yeah,
that's a good call.
He'll be there.
He played better in the second half of the season. Is Gunnar Stockton still eligible?
Back. Yeah, he's still eligible. A guy I'm looking at is Marcel Reed. Like Marcel Reed with the season that he put together, more seasoning he'll get. We'll see how much playoff stuff he'll get. But I think Marcel Reed there. And if there's another running back that I think could pop up there, it's Ahmad Hardy from Missouri.
Okay.
Like, that guy this year put up monster numbers. It wasn't Jeremiah Love type of numbers, but he was one of the
top. His numbers were better.
Yeah. So I think that's a guy who I think could pop up if there's another running back to get there. But we know how hard it is to take it away from one of these quarterbacks. How we feeling about USC's guy? Jaden Mayava at quarterback. That's what I'm saying. It was some flashes this year. Wasn't as consistent, but I don't think we should completely put his name to bed just yet, because you know some of these Lincoln Riley offenses usually have quarterbacks with some sexy numbers.
No, I would agree with that you can't take his name out of the conversation. Mayava was in there early this season. Yeah. He was one of the favorites when he was really putting up big numbers. USC always seems to print wide receivers, so he's going to have that luxury. I'm just concerned about the team success there, right? This team hasn't really established itself as a blue blood again in college football. So that's why I hesitate on Mayava. I really do like the CJ Carr call out because he got better and better as this season went on. And man, oh man, I think Notre Dame is going to come out ready to rip some heads off next year the way that this season ended.
Lenoris is coming back too.
Yeah, yes. that was another name I wanted to bring up. I'm not as big of a Lenoris Sellers believer as some, but I think you got to have his name in the mix.
I agree. He's got a little bit of that Anthony Richardson vibe to me to him, where like he's just, you see the skill set and it's easy to fall in love with the skill set, but he just really hasn't put it together. You mentioned USC and the wide receivers. Mekhi Lemon wins the Biletnikoff this year. So some individual motivation, I think, for Jeremiah going into the offseason is to get one of those before he goes to the NFL. Coming up top of the hour, after an update, Ian Fitzsimmons will join us to talk all things college football. We'll get his take on the Michigan situation and some of these big-time quarterback names around college football that have hit the portal today. That's next. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
Catch T-Bone and Tyvus weekday mornings from 6 to 9. If you're not completely satisfied, we'll rewind time and erase your brain. For real, The Fan.
Come on!
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle. Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score.
Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. And app only.
Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon. I'm Tyler Danberg. Three new trees will be planted in Buckeye Grove as Jeremiah Smith, Caden McDonald, and Arvell Reese were named AP First Team All-Americans. Eight total Buckeyes earned All-American honors. ESPN's Pete Thamel reported Nebraska quarterback Dylan Raiola plans to enter the transfer portal. The former Ohio State commit has 2 years of eligibility left. NFL tonight, Dolphins visit the Steelers at 8:15. Packers star Micah Parsons tore his ACL and will miss the rest of the season. He faces a 9-month recovery. College hoops, Ohio State women's basketball stays at 21st in the AP poll. Buckeyes host Norfolk State Thursday at 6:30. Golf, Scottie Scheffler was named PGA Tour Player of the Year for the fourth year in a row. This update is sponsored by Lion's Den, the official store for pleasure, passion, and romance. Shop discreetly in-store or online and unlock a world of confidence and connection at Lion's Den. Breaking sports news when it happens to The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Most shows just skim the surface, but Rothman and Ice feel like the biggest story of the day deserves a closer look. It's time for A Deeper Dive.
Sponsored by Low T Center. Low T Center, reinventing men's healthcare.
All right, welcome back in. Matty Ice, Dylan Tyre in the house today for our guy AR. Gonna bring on one of our favorites right now because we got a lot to get into, man. College football streets are popping right now. The one and only Ian Fitzsimmons joins us via the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Gas Hotline. Fitzy, happy Reaction Monday, brother. How you feeling?
All right, we're doing well, man. Army Navy didn't let us down. The pride of Hilliard, Ohio, wins again in Blake Horvath, quarterback at Navy, and what a remarkable performance. That's my favorite game of the year. I don't care what the records are. I do not give a damn. That is number one, even above the national championship, because those men and the men and women in those stands and the men on that field swapping paint and blood, I mean, that was a hard-hitting, nasty football game. They give us the right to even have a national championship game. So kudos to Army Navy. It's my favorite game of the year, and it did not disappoint.
Right there with you. I'll double down on everything you said. All right, let's get down to it, because I'm sitting there Thursday after the show, and the alerts start popping off, right? The text messages start coming in. Sharon Moore, he gone. He is fired. He is no longer there. And I was initially shocked out of the gate because I didn't see the part that he was fired with cause. And my mind went to Fitzy, well, I mean, this can't really be for football reasons right now, right? Like, you know, kind of steady the waters just a little bit post-Harbaugh. But then all the nasty details come out after that. So where were you when you found out? What did you think of, obviously, the whole nasty situation and where the program is right now?
Sitting my big bloated butt right where I am right now on my couch, and my wife is looking at me going, are you ever going to get up? At some point, yes, because I do have the week off, and I got three games in 12 days to prepare for. So I was sitting right here, man, and it was one where I actually got two text messages after after Ohio State beat Michigan. And after the Bucks pulled it off in impressive fashion, I got a couple of text messages from some very connected Michigan alumni going, watch out for Coach Moore. And another one, man, Sharon's in trouble. I'm like, what? You lost one time to the Bucks, and all of a sudden you're going to blow them up? And then, as you mentioned, the details start to come out. And that thing just spiraled quickly, and it is beyond nasty. But it is still, and I said this last week on our show on ESPN Radio, to me, Michigan is still one of the top 25 jobs in all of football. I'm talking NFL or college. I mean, you know, Ohio State's one of those. Bama is one of those where, you know, even though you have to deal with the NIL and the portal, you're going to get paid a boatload of cash, and you're going to have a hell of a lot of resources to go and win a hell of a lot of games.
So what are you thinking in terms of that coaching search then? Because we've got a bunch of different names popping up right now. Jed Fish, I think, is at the top of that list. You have even names coming out of the NFL right now, potentially, as part of that as well. So where do you think this all goes with the Michigan coaching search?
I think Jed Fish is number one. And I just called their game against Oregon. He is a unique individual. He didn't play, which is fine because, you know, guys like Charlie Weiss is a three-time Super Bowl champ. He never played, but he was good enough to coordinate a Bill Belichick offense, you know, with the Dynasty Patriots, with, you know, Mike Vrabel being on one of those squads. So I don't care if he didn't play, man. But, you know, look, you go look at Jed Fish's resume. He's been all over the NFL, including, by the way, with the Patriots. He brought Arizona back to life, and when he went to Washington, it was empty, man, because a lot of guys left with Kalen DeBoer, and that's a big problem with the portal window. They went with him to Alabama. I like Jeremy Bernard, like Bracefield, their all SEC center. So that wasn't a lot to work with, but he still found ways to win nine games last year, and it's a well-coached football team. So that would be my number one, because DeBoer, when his name came out, I've known that guy a long time. There was no way in hell he's leaving a college football playoff team, and after just arriving at Alabama to follow the man, his image would take a monster hit. So there was no way that DeBoer was going to leave his guys and pull a Kiffin in the middle of a title run. Wasn't going to happen.
Our guy Ian Fitzsimmons from ESPN joining us here on The Fan, talking all things college football right now. Were you buying any of the Kenny Dillingham buzz that was out there? Do you think he's going to stay out there in the desert?
I mean, it sounds like he's going to stay out at Arizona State. When you're coveted like he is and beloved like he is, why leave? Like, look at Rhett Lashley at SMU. people are going, well, hey, going to be the next head coach at Arkansas or wherever. No, sometimes you're just happy where you are. And the grass ain't always greener. Heck, ask Chad Morris, who did leave SMU for Arkansas, and his ass was fired within 3 years. You know, when you're making what they're making right now, I mean, I know the final numbers didn't come out on Lashley, but I'm going to guess it's around $7, $8 million a year. And all you got to do is fill your truck up with a tank of gas, and you can go recruit a serious contender in the Metroplex of Dallas and Fort Worth. So sometimes it's not always better to leave, and I don't see Dillingham going anywhere. I think Jed, though, is a guy to keep an eye on. He might make that jump all the way from Seattle to Ann Arbor.
All right, let's keep it at Arizona State then. You've got Sam Leavitt in the transfer portal. Dylan Raiola just announced that he's going to be in the transfer portal. Why are we seeing these quarterbacks hop in the portal from seemingly stable situations?
Money. And Dylan was not happy in Lincoln. I was told that he gave a salute to his dad's name up in the Nebraska Ring of Honor. When he was leaving that field for the last time. And obviously he wasn't padded up, right? But he gave it a salute like that. I gave it a go. So I'm not hearing great things about the state of Nebraska football right now. And if Dante Moore leaves to go to the NFL, which is still up in the air, man, he is fully invested. I talked to Dan Lanning yesterday, as a matter of fact. And, man, when I say invested, this team has got their spurs dug in. And it's not a given that Moore's going to jump to the NFL. Because, as Bill Parcells told me a long time ago, you want to have – he would never draft a quarterback that wasn't right around 28 to 30 starts in college. And Dante needs about 10 more of those to get to that magic number. I think a lot of these quarterbacks in NIL in this day and age, man, one, you are free agents every single year now, and they all have agents that are shopping them behind the scenes. But if you're Dante and you got that Nike money and you can make $5 million and get better – and become more seasoned and a more polished prospect, why wouldn't you? And that's why Dylan Raiola, I think, has his eye squarely on Eugene, Oregon.
Okay, let me ask you this, though, about Dante Moore. Is he hearing, though, maybe on the other side of that coin that, dude, you might be the quarterback two this year, and that money in the NFL and that world is just different, right? So what are you hearing? Yeah, that's what I'm right. So if he's hearing that, you got to go, right?
I mean, there's a big difference between top 10 and either first or second, you know. Look at Lenore Sellers right now, South Kakalaki also. I mean, you know, reports are that he's coming back for another run. Why? Because he can get paid and get better, and he does need to get better. I mean, he's a remarkable athlete, but he's got to work on touch. I mean, everything he throws is a 98-mile-an-hour fastball. And the only way you're going to get accustomed to catching it is to line up about 3 yards from the jugs machine, and it's on high. Because, I mean, like Bryce Underwood, he throws a very – you know, firm, hard football to catch. You know, these are the guys that have to continue to work on their craft. But to your point, man, when you're getting paid this kind of cash and you're being shopped behind the scenes, it's a different world that we're living in, and we're all wearing milk bone underwear.
So as we know, Lane Kiffin is one of the characters of the sport. And I love it because he adds some spice and some nice vibes to college football, even though I know he can rub some people the wrong way. Did you see what he did today on Twitter when it comes to DJ Lagway? He retweeted the post from On Three saying that DJ Lagway is hitting the portal. Do you think that's the guy he would want? Because today it was like, I think Brendan Sorsby's interesting from Cincinnati. He may go back to Indiana, Fitzy. But some of these quarterbacks, right, that are hitting the portal today, I have to imagine, are looking down there at Baton Rouge and saying, I want to get inside of that offense and cook with Lane.
But look what Lane Kiffin did, to your point, right, with Trinidad Chambliss. I mean, just he was ranked, 422nd in the portal. And I don't even he was hitting, quarterback boards coming out of Ferris State. And Lane saw something in him. Lane is a remarkable football mind and a brilliant play caller. I mean, whatever you don't do well defensively, that's what he's going to try and attack. If he can throw it for 400, he'll throw it for 400. If he can run it for 200, he'll run it for 200. He doesn't care because he's that great of a football mind. But he burned his image down that he had rebuilt in 6 years, and it got torched. But here's the thing. Does Baton Rouge care?
No.
They don't give a damn. Their gumbo tastes a little bit better, a little bit spicier, now that Lane Kiffin is the head coach there. You want to go get Lagway, who's one of the more highly coveted and talented high school prospects coming out of Texas in the last 5-6 years? Go get him, because he is a remarkable player, man. He also, though, needs some serious seasoning and some serious coaching. And a guy that can do it, is Lane Kiffin. But that's vicious, dude. That's just savage on Lane's part.
Yeah, it really is.
Go ahead and retweet it. I mean, that's next level, man. I mean, I had to let that sink in for a minute and a minute and a half answer just to kind of go, he really retweeted Lagway hitting the foul beam. Look at this.
He did.
Ian, a massive weekend of college football coming with the college football playoff opening up. Which game are you most excited to see here? Which result?
The one I'm doing. I got and the Buckeye fans will have a full scouting report for you next week. Because I got Texas A&M, I got Miami. And I don't have to get on a plane. I'm just going to load the truck up and drive 3.5 hours down to College Station and get ready. Because I've already seen A&M. And they got leaders at every level in every room. Starting with quarterback with Marcel Reed. Le'Veon Moss in the backfield is now healthy again. I mean, you look at Concepcion, a wide receiver coming over from NC State. He was instantly a leader. York on the offensive line. My guy wearing 21 at linebacker. Let me tell you something, folks. This dude, he's 5'0", 200-0. And I don't care because when that dude arrives, he arrives with bad intentions. And he is a brilliant, brilliant player who they got to kick him out of the facility at times because he's just in there. Start, stop, start, stop. Just watching film nonstop. Cassius Howell on the edge. You know, Will Lee at corner. Texas A&M is legit, and they are player-led. I have not seen Miami yet. We all know the talent they have, especially with Bain coming off the edge. This is going to be an outstanding, outstanding football game, and I can't wait to call it.
Should be a fun weekend. Fitzy, as always, my man, appreciate your time and looking forward to talking to you next week to get your take on what you saw up close and personal with the Aggies and Canes. Appreciate you, brother. Thank you.
Done and done, man. Thank you.
There goes Ian Fitzsimmons from ESPN joining us here on The Fan. Coming up next in pre-snap reads, Dylan, major injuries around the NFL. New news on one for a defender today. And also, arguably the face of the sport is done with an ACL tear. We'll talk about it next. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
Are you fired up? Is it Monday? It must be Reaction Monday.
Sponsored by The Roofing Guys.
The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle. Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score.
Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. An app only.
Work. Morning Juice. Real football talk. Just two guys who aren't afraid to say what needs to be said.
And that's how she wrote.
Sponsored by Riverside Bank of Dublin.
Now streaming mornings on YouTube and 10 TV Plus. Attack and dominate. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
A nice mix of sun and clouds today, but don't let that sun fool you. We're still going to be bitterly cold with our feels like at or below zero. For tonight, partly cloudy with our lows down into the teens. However, the feels like will be even lower than that. And for Tuesday, more sunshine. And finally, temperatures getting back above the freezing mark. I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Bet365, the official online sports book of Rothman and Ice. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Rothman and Ice present Pre-Snap Reads.
Sponsored by Newman Roofing. Call Newman Roofing today at 614-NEW-ROOF. That's 614-NEW-ROOF. Or visit online at newmanroofing.com.
All right, let's knock out a Bet365 bet today before we get into a lot of significant NFL news. But folks, right now at Bet365, if you're a new customer, they got a great deal waiting for you. Where all you have to do is bet $5. You will, after that, get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger and better when you bet on total spreads, money lines, or player props. Do not miss out on the Daily Boost and Super Boost as well. So check out the website and also download the app today. TLC, big game for your Steelers tonight. Big game in the AFC tonight with the Miami Dolphins coming in to the Berg. How are you feeling about this one, man?
There are no big games with the Steelers. We are one of those boring teams in the NFL this year.
Boring is accurate, but you look at the standings, and this one holds a decent amount of weight. I'm looking at Jaylen Waddle. Give me plus 200 for an anytime touchdown tonight for Jalen Waddle. Steelers secondary has been dicey this year. You look at where the targets are going to go, obviously, with he and Achan. Those are the guys. I don't know how you guys felt about the video. I think of the Dolphins. I think maybe at some high school or something around Pittsburgh, I think, like practicing in the snow. And
that was awesome.
You know what it reminded me of, though? It reminded me of when Tennessee came in here and the guys were running around pregame with their shirts off and all that. It's like, okay, like, you know what I mean? Like, you guys are cold. Stop acting like you're not cold. But DT, I'm looking at Jalen Waddle tonight. Plus 200 for an anytime touchdown against TLC Steelers. What do you think?
Yeah, I like that a lot from you. I think we're going to see some offense in this game. I think both teams are going to throw the football around a little bit. I like the receptions for Waddle, too, going over. So I like a big night from Jalen Waddle and maybe a couple of other guys on that Dolphins offense as well.
Cole, where are you at with DK Metcalf right now?
I thought it was cool that he went down on punt team. But, I mean, like, he's not...
He's got you at a loss for words.
I can't believe I'm saying this. I wish we had George Pickens instead.
Or just both.
Now, the contractual thing is why we traded away George Pickens is because, one, he was a headache, and two, he was a headache that was due up for a new contract at some point. Yeah. And once we made that determination, then it made sense to get rid of him. But, I mean, DK is good, but just, again, this team is so freaking boring.
It's felt like the last few years, right? The offense just hasn't had anything sexy to watch.
Oh, man.
Like,
we got a million tight ends on the field at all times.
Yeah. Was George Pickens a headache there, though, because of the culture they have and they made it their headache? Because it feels like he hasn't been that big of a headache in Dallas, which may be because we're used to more drama there. I don't know. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, but his stuff was also on the field.
That's true. He
like
did
fighting
some weird
defensive
stuff.
Backs all the time. And the funny thing is, actually, DK Metcalf had a long history of that in Seattle, and so I guess he's cleaned that up a little bit.
Bad
but, I mean,
quarterback play will do that to a man.
100%. Yes, and that's why it's been relatively quiet with the lack of drama in Dallas this year, because he's looking around and saying, oh, this is what life's supposed to be like.
I'm getting
right?
the ball now.
Right, you get a top 10, top 12-ish type of quarterback in Dak, whatever ranking you want to put on him, and Pickens has had a monster year. So that'll be an interesting contract situation for Dallas. But, yeah, for DK, it's hard really, too, to kind of crush him for any of this, because opposite him, where are the real threats?
There aren't any.
Where are the real threats?
They're all tight ends.
Yeah.
Like, what are they throw the ball to the running backs and the tight ends, and that's it.
We had a Thursday nighter against the Bengals this year where we had four touchdown passes from Rodgers. Yeah. All four were to tight ends. Three different tight ends got one. I think Freiermuth had two, Darnell Washington had one, and Jonnu Smith had one, too.
Yeah.
And like that was just the quintessential game.
Yeah.
For what the Steelers offense is. No perimeter weapons to speak of.
We'll see what it looks like tonight against the Dolphins. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER, 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In-app only.
And may the odds be ever in your favor.
So when you talk about adding insult to injury,
they're dead.
That's what's going on with the Kansas City Chiefs, because pour one out for the Chiefs. We will not see the Kansas City Chiefs in the playoffs, and who knows when we're going to see Patrick Mahomes again, because if you missed it, it's official. Pat Mahomes tore his ACL yesterday, and so this guy has reached the AFC Championship game in every season as a starter in Kansas City. It's crazy. So that brand, that quarterback, we won't see at all, and the AFC standings are pretty wild to look at right now. But just obviously an unfortunate situation out there in Kansas City for the face of the sport right now, because you look around to next year as well, Dylan, and it's like, how much time is he going to miss for next year's regular season as well?
Yeah, they're in a very, very scary situation right now, the Kansas City Chiefs. Way over the cap going into next season. They're going to have to make some moves this offseason, and you're going to have to do all of it without knowing who your starting quarterback will be to begin the season. You know, the timing of this injury is what really hurts for the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, what is a quick ACL recovery? 6, 7, 8 months, which is right around the start of next season at this point. That's tough for Patrick Mahomes, and especially when you're a guy that relies on being mobile, escapable like Patrick Mahomes, it's probably going to take a little bit more time because you're going to want him to be 100% coming back, and that's part of the problem for them this year, right? So reliant on Patrick Mahomes. Their offense has just been wonky, really going back to last year. I know they've had to wait for their weapons at different points this year. Rashee Rice suspended, Xavier Worthy hurt. Kind of goes back to last season with the injuries they went through and dealt with. But They were so Mahomes heavy this year. They needed Pat Mahomes to run the football. That's how he ends up getting hurt. They needed Pat Mahomes to create kind of outside of timing and tempo in that offense this year. It just never looked right. They never had a running game this season, and all of that comes back to bite them. And like I said, I don't know where you go from here.
Yeah, and a couple things for me when you look around the corner that are scary is that two of your pillars for this kind of dynasty-ish window that they were in are aging superstars in Travis Kelce and Chris Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's no promise. To me, you can just see with Travis. Like, he just doesn't have the juice anymore. And yeah, look, that's expected. At this point in career, he hangs it up. He'll be one of the best tight ends to ever do it. But even Chris Jones in this year hasn't had the productive season that we've seen him have in the past. And so the roster construction clearly needs to change. And the other part of it, if I were a Chiefs fan, that would spook me out just a little bit is the division is not sweet anymore.
No.
Like, when this Mahomes and Kelce and Reed thing really kicked off and they were whooping everybody's tail, the Raiders didn't have their things really in order. The Broncos
They still don't, just for the record.
Very true. The Broncos were very spotty with their productivity, and the Chargers had Herbert, but they could never piece it together. The game has changed. We woke up today. The Broncos are the one seed in the AFC. The Chargers, for me, feel like they're always going to be a team that has sound stuff that they're going to bring to the field on Sundays. And so even coming back from all this, you never know what you're getting from a guy coming back from a significant injury. But the division now is a grind for them in the AFC West with the head coach combinations in Denver and in L.A.
Well, here's the thing for me. It's still the Chiefs, right? I still think people are going to have this belief in the Chiefs because they've been established. But they have so much work to do this offseason. I talked about it earlier with the Bengals, right? You have to find a way to keep that window open. And they're paying Pat Mahomes a ton of money. So the number one thing is figuring out that cap going into next season. They're over the cap by, I think, $34 million going into next year. You've got an aging star in Chris Jones. You've got a lot of money tied up in an offensive line that, A, has been hurt this season and hasn't been good this season. You've got to protect Pat Mahomes. You've got all these young weapons. You know, a guy like Rashee Rice is going to have to get paid at some point. You have to figure out the running backs at some point.
That's the big one. They need a horse at running back.
They really do.
They need a horse. Mahomes.
Think back to when it all started for them. They had Kareem Hunt just pounding the rock there. Yeah. Got Kareem Hunt pounding the rock, but not in the same way.
You had that pop from Pacheco out of the gate, and he doesn't look the same as he looked a couple years ago as well. So they got to figure that out. You can't have Pat Mahomes as your second leading rusher. That's not who he really is. The other sad news coming out of the NFL, if you're a Packer fan, Whiskey Paul TLC, we got to pour one out for him right now because Micah Parsons, it's official. He tore his ACL yesterday as well. And so they go out, make an aggressive trade, which I'm still here for because you're kind of in this window to where things are coming together. You got some playoff experience over the last couple of years, but that's a team now that has to really overcome a major hurdle getting ready for the postseason and what that looks like for them. So you look on Dallas' side of things, they're feeling pretty good about where things could potentially be headed with the draft capital that they got, but obviously a tough blow up there in Green Bay today.
As a Chicago Bears fan, it might be inappropriate for me to comment on what this means for the NFC North, but it certainly hurts the Packers going forward. You know, they were favorites in that game against the Broncos, and they lose a lot in that game. Christian Watson got hurt. I think they're reporting today that it's not going to be long-term for Christian Watson.
Okay.
But Micah Parsons is. This is a team that very well could have been a Super Bowl contender.
Yep.
I'm not so sure they are anymore without Parsons. I still think that defense is good. You've got Rashawn Gary coming off the edge. It's a lot less scary without Parsons now, though. Tough day for the NFL.
No doubt. And another significant injury real quick before we go to break is Devontae Adams. Hamstring injury yesterday. So we'll see how long he will be out for one of the contenders.
That was just on running a route.
Yeah, I know. Crazy, man. So, yeah, one of the contenders in the NFC dealing with the big blow as well on offense in the Rams and Devontae Adams. Coming up in 2 minutes, Adam King stops by to talk all things Adam King. It's Rothman and Ice right here.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle. Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score.
Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. And app only.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door Showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
There's nothing like ripping off your pants and enjoying some lobster bisque. This is Rothman and Ice.
Could use some of that on a cold day like today. What we could all use is more Adam King. Adam King from 10 TV joins us here on The Fan. AK, I swear my eyes are not deceiving me, but I thought I saw you in person like 20 minutes ago. Where are you?
I am out to do a story shoot on a guy in Central Ohio who broke the record for most 3 points made in a 24-hour period.
Oh, wow. Okay, that'll be a cool story to look forward to. Dylan and I were talking during the break, and we thought maybe you were running from the smoke since TLC's back.
Well, I think it's really interesting that TLC called me, and, you know, when Reimer calls me from the Radio Ohio phone, it comes up as Radio Ohio, but when TLC calls me, it comes up as potential spam, and that checks out. Everything about that makes sense.
Adam, I just want to say you looked great in that video I saw on Twitter of you being the only media member who was interviewing Julian Say and while everyone else was interviewing Fernando Mendoza right next to him.
It was a man in a suit. Just because they're wearing a suit does not make it me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I got to say, Adam, I'm pissed off. I just shook your hand probably 20 minutes ago. Yeah. I came into the studio today. I don't get to do this all the time, and I never get to do it when you're on with TLC, Rothman, and Ice here. And I said to TLC when I walked in, oh, baby, I get to see this beef in person today. I'm very, very upset you're not in studio.
I didn't know how to tell you. There's actually no guy that broke a 3-point record. I saw you and I dipped.
Okay.
That's the problem. I didn't want to hurt your feelings, but if you want the honest answer, no, I felt horrible, but you know, it got, the world goes on. Okay. And you know, they may tell you cellular devices can still have a beef with TLC over the phone. We do it every day. So, we can still have our fun, but I'm devastated that I'm not sitting in that chair right now.
Ah, fair enough.
Okay. Hey, were you surprised at all that Julian finished fourth with less than 10 first-place votes in this Heisman race?
You know, you really shouldn't ask that question, because I have not been more fired up about anything in the past 4 days than this stupid award season that we call it in college football. Mendoza deserved to win the Heisman. Great speech. 100% deserved. But this award that we hand out, and we pretend to be the smartest people on the earth. We're not giving the Biletnikoff to the best receiver in the country just because it's fun to do that, because we want to seem like we're smarter than everybody else. It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Julian, magically, somehow he was going to win the Heisman if he beat Indiana, but because he lost by 3 points, now he's behind Diego Pavia and Jordan Love, who didn't even play. Bryce Love. Jordan Love did play. He played yesterday. But it's idiotic what we do with these awards, and we allow people to continue to try to be the smartest person in the room instead of just making the decision based off of who is the best player or who has been the most impactful player. Who's the best receiver in the country is obviously Jeremiah Smith.
So Jeremiah Love, I think you went with Jordan Love, then Bryce Love.
Bryce Love, the former Stanford running back. Yeah.
Jeremiah Love. So Adam, would you say that you are Team Diego Pavia right now? You sound a lot like the guy that's posting F the voters on Instagram.
I do not understand how Diego Pavia got to go to New York and represent the great sport of college football. The man, he went out of nowhere. I mean, I understand he had a good season for Vandy, but go to week 10 and nobody's talking about Diego Pavia other than when they're bringing up Theo Vaughn. And so I don't understand how we got to a place where he's now out partying and clubbing in NYC as the Heisman runner-up. It's garbage.
What does a night out with Diego Pavia and Adam King look like? Mm. What does that look like?
It looks like one guy sitting at a bar having a beer and the other guy at a club exhausted, yelling, paying for signs that say not nice things about Indiana. You know, I don't think I could spend 5 minutes talking to the guy.
So
I don't think I could.
You don't have the club night in you. You are not a Diego Pavia socialite like that, eh?
I have attempted that night. And it is exhausting. Mm. I don't understand. Like, there are people that every day of their life, they live in this place called Miami, Florida, and all they do is go clubbing. And I want to know when those people sleep, because you're just jumping up and down constantly for 5 hours straight. And then you go home and then you do it again at 2 a.m. the next day. I don't know how you do it.
Those people don't have 3-point record stories to cover.
That's right. See, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. Got it. Those people don't have radio calls at 2:30 on Mondays.
Hey, Adam, do you think that the Heisman voters have a bias against Ohio State? In 2019, both Ohio State, I believe it was Justin Fields and Chase Young, they were both in the bottom two of the four who went to New York. C.J. Stroud finished fourth of the four who went to New York. I think Marvin Harrison was the fourth who went to New York, and now Julian Sayin's in last place, too. This is four times in the past six, 7 years. Oh, geez, I just did it again. This is four times in the past 7 years where Ohio State's always been at the bottom of the people who go to New York.
You know, I don't think they have a bias against Ohio State. I think they have a hard time giving players from Ohio State credit because of the talent that's around them. And that is a narrative that I've had enough of. I will say, when you look at the Heisman over the past, I don't know, 15 years, it does always seem to get the guy that should win it. And credit to that, it never feels like we walk away from the Heisman ceremony shocked. I mean, we kind of know, but they go through the whole ceremony. You're like, it's going to be this guy tonight. It's just a little, I don't know. I think people try to get way too smart with all these awards. They try to argue why Lemon should be the best receiver, and they try to lean on stats one thing or another. They try to take Caleb Downs, shouldn't have won the Thorpe. It's silly. And it's people that want to act like they're smarter than everybody else in the room because they know that Jeremiah Smith is not the best receiver this season. It's actually Lemon, which is just wrong.
So we haven't talked to you since all the Michigan stuff popped off and the Sherrone Moore mess really just revealed itself with some of the nasty details that came out of there. You were a guy that was kind of in the mix with all this with the viral video you had of Michigan sideline a couple years ago and all of that stuff. But AK, when you look at this story and you look at what's ahead for Michigan and maybe even some of the names that are in the mix to be the next guy, where are you at with this thing?
I have no idea. You know, I will say it went from hilarious to wow to sad at the end. And, like, I don't know. I do wonder how people, like, wake up in the morning that are Michigan fans and say, like, let's go. We're so excited for next season. Like, you got to tear it all down and restart. Jim Harbaugh, I understand he's in the NFL now and he's with the Chargers, but it feels like everything that he kind of touched with that program, yeah, they won a national title, but it either ends with a show clause or a firing. And I think they got to start over there. Kalen DeBoer, I know he's not going there now, but he's not going to. People don't want to touch that program because it's not a good situation. It might have the Michigan logo, but that's where the good news stops if you're trying to work there.
All right, Adam, you're a professional at social media, and I'm trying to get a little bit better myself here. So you put out the tweet, this is the final moment of the Sherrone Moore era at Michigan, and it's the picture of Michigan defending their M. They didn't want a flag planted, etc. It does 1.1 million views. Mm. When you post that, do you know exactly what's going to happen? Because when I saw that hit my timeline, let me tell you, I said Adam King is about to become a star.
You know, I take my Twitter way too seriously. Mm. It is unhealthy how much I want to make sure that, you know, my social media is at the top of the game. I was actually sitting eating a nice bucket of fried chicken when I got that news. Mm. And my first thought wasn't that, I got the perfect tweet. It was, boy, I can't believe the last time we saw Sherrone Moore was Ryan Day telling him to get off his field and then staring at Ohio State celebrating. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to put that out there. And it actually very much surprised me. I did not expect it to do that well.
We will get you out of here on this one. What's on Adam King's Christmas list this year?
Ooh, good question. Good question. You know, I'm a guy that has, if I need something, I'm going to go get it, but I don't really need anything. Oh. And so, you know, what's on my Christmas list is a healthy life for all my friends and family. Maybe everybody can donate $1 to Matty Ice and get him, you know, his dream car. TLC getting fired. They're just a little things on my Christmas list that, you know, I haven't written it down yet, but we'll see what Santa can do.
TLC, I need you to weigh in on this. A man telling us that he doesn't really need anything, like he's got everything, that's a flex, right? Like that's a little bit of flex, AK.
No. Yeah. I think you're taking it the wrong way.
Pretty naughty.
I'm the kind of guy, I am not like, there you go, it's a gong that I have everything. No, I just don't need, like, when your mom says, what do you want for Christmas? You know what I actually want for Christmas? I want underwear and socks. because they get holes in them in 2 seconds, and my socks are always mismatched. I don't know what's going on in that drawer.
Yeah,
but
I'm here for that.
I've had enough.
You know,
I would give $100 a month if it meant that every day I opened my door and there was a fresh, clean pair of socks and a brand new pair of underwear, and it would just be the perfect system.
I like that too. You know what else I get from my mom too when she asks? Go big on the toiletries, like toilet paper, paper towels, cleaning stuff in bulk. That way you don't have to buy those.
You get toilet paper for Christmas. That's what you asked for.
Sam's Club.
Hold on.
Telling you.
Good point there. If I open toilet paper for Christmas, we're fighting. The Christmas is over. Toilet paper and paper towels. It's not a holly jolly season anymore, all right?
There's other things that come along with it. I just think it's kind of a cousin of what you mentioned with underwear and socks. You get some toiletries and stuff like that.
Mom, if you're listening, also protein powder and protein bars.
There you go. AK, go do your story. We appreciate you, man. Wish we could have done it in person, but we'll talk to you throughout the week. We'll talk to you next week, brother. Appreciate you.
Hey, I appreciate you guys. I'll be back there to give you a hug.
Sounds good. Adam King from 10TV joining us here on The Fan. Coming up next, we'll hit the finish line of the show. Next, we'll tell the truth. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
We're known for three things: games, conversation, and common man yelling about things only he cares about. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle. Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score.
Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. And app only.
Jake Diebler's Buckeyes head to Atlanta for a battle with North Carolina.
Live fan coverage starts Saturday at 2 with the tip at 3.
Every game, every season, proud to be your home of the Buckeyes, The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Right Way Heating and Cooling and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Tell the truth with Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Right now, get 50% off all window styles from Window Nation at windownation.com.
All right, let's get into a TLC. Take us to the crib. What do you got cooked up? And tell the truth today.
Okay, now that we have a week's worth of information under our belt, what is your anticipation level for Philip Rivers Part 2 next week?
Ooh, who's the opponent?
Niners.
I think it's going to look about the same.
Yeah.
Next week. I mean, you could see yesterday.
No, I mean, how interested are you?
Oh,
because I was like,
I wasn't
watching the game, but I was box score watching like crazy.
Yeah, no, I was
like,
locked in.
Like I was on that ESPN app, like the play-by-play.
Yeah.
Following along. I was rooting like I was in the stands.
I was out with one of the homies yesterday, and we were out watching, obviously, the games. And I was like, I cannot wait to watch what this looks like. And for me, that excitement, I think, will still be there.
Really?
This weekend. Just to see this guy at this age doing what he's doing and just trying to have any success at this level. It was cool to see kind of the video going around of the high school kids that he coached. They were all hyped and gassed up about the touchdown that he had. And so, yeah, to me, it's going to be another week of that being an interesting storyline for me.
It's definitely an interesting storyline. I'm not quite sure how interested I am in it. I think the most interested I got yesterday was when they had the chance to win the game and he had the opportunity to lead them on a game-winning drive, which really, for all intents and purposes, he was able to do. I know Seattle comes down the other way to get it done. It's a must-win football game this week for the 49ers, so can Philip Rivers play spoiler? Can he keep the Colts' chances alive? I think that's where the intrigue lies for me, more so than in the football player himself, but this is quite a story, man. The guy's coming back, and he's kind of shot-putting the football. He doesn't have a whole lot on it. It's like he's throwing a balloon out there, but it's definitely cool to see a guy who is a literal grandfather throwing touchdown passes in the NFL.
They may not obviously make it to the postseason at this point. When you look at what Houston is doing and when you look at what Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars are doing, Houston's won 6 in a row, the Jags have won 5 in a row, and Trevor Lawrence is playing some good ball right now. So they're up against it. But no, TLC, I'll be interested to see him go out there and do what he does as a grandpa.
Name this company.
Taco Bell.
Bang!
I watch too much TV.
There you go.
Watch too much TV.
Think outside the bun. Well, hey, you took me there, so let's do it. Do you believe in Trevor Lawrence again? 6 touchdowns this weekend. It was the Jets, so I have to say that, obviously. By the way,
yeah.
Jets, I don't think, have an interception yet this season.
They still do not. I believe they have one turnover.
Yes, it was a recovered fumble. Yeah. And that happened in week like 11 or something like that.
But not a single pick is what you're saying.
So they have one turnover, and we have three games left this year.
Chicago Bears have like 30 turnovers this year.
And we'll get to them in the next one on Tell the Truth.
Okay.
I don't know, fellas, if I've really ever been a Trevor Lawrence believer. As far as a guy that was ever going to be dominant slash go on a big run. And so I'm really not, he's playing really good ball right now. Like, I have to give him that. But I don't think this is going to turn into something significant in the postseason this year. So I guess I'm not a believer.
So I think Liam Cohen gave him the opportunity to cut loose, right? I think the problem with Trevor Lawrence for much of his early career was that he was trying to be too perfect. That would lead him to be robotic, not instinctual, not the athlete that he truly is. I think we're starting to see that come out, that Liam Cohen has given him the freedom to be able to make mistakes within their offense. We're seeing more good from Trevor Lawrence, but I kind of view him and I look at him the same way that I look at a guy like Sam Darnold. I think a lot of people look at Sam Darnold right now as, hey, it's been nice during the regular season. Let's see it in the big game. Let's see it in the playoffs. So for me, I'm not quite there with Trevor Lawrence because I need to see it in the postseason. But if this guy looks good and goes on a little run, I think he's one of those real candidates to be a guy that maybe started a little bit slow early on in his career, but we see him develop into a viable quarterback later on.
This 1 week of practice. So imagine, you know what a full offseason looked like.
I know this guy was very interesting to one of you yesterday because he was playing against your team. Mm. Sunday in, Sunday out, is Shedeur Sanders someone who moves the needle for you?
For me, yeah. Yeah, I just think like anything that he does for me on a microphone or on the field is interesting.
Yeah.
Like yesterday, it was obviously rough. But we talked about it Friday. I mean, how injured everybody was and all that. Like, there's only so much of that excuse you can use, but there's some reality in it as well. But, yeah, you could just – I mean, one of the picks, right, was the one where Jarrett Judy just gets the ball ripped away from him. And I think that's
but there was also a dropped pick six that could have also replaced that.
So it was a mixed bag of just and really bad from him yesterday. But yeah, suiting up for the remainder of the season, I'll be locked in for sure.
So the person himself in Shedeur Sanders in the toolkit there moves the needle for me. I think right now for the remainder of this season within this Cleveland Browns team and offense, it's not moving the needle for me after watching the Browns play yesterday. I had watched a decent amount of Browns football this year. I had definitely been tuned in when Shedeur was playing, but the Browns just were not ready to play at all yesterday. If I were a Cleveland fan, I would have been so frustrated by that. So the situation he's in right now isn't great. Will I be intrigued to see what they do if he's the guy next year? Absolutely. But right now, Shedeur Sanders, within the situation that he is in, not quite there.
I'm in a weird spot because I hate a lot of the Shedeur commentary. And I've hated it for a while, but now that he's a starter, it feels like a little bit more justified. And so I'm like, well, now I got to watch because if everyone around me is going to be talking about him, I got to kind of have a clue what's going on. So I am very interested in it and for that standpoint. But you're right. I hate all the whole like, oh, Kevin Stefanski's getting like all the low-hanging fruit arguments that have nothing to do with anything. Who was it? Like Sexy Red or Glorilla who's like tweeting out about like Stefanski's game plan? Like, yeah, whatever.
He made some throws yesterday. Like the two deep balls were great. The ball that got picked
the
off.
The Jerry Judy throw was the best throw he will throw all year.
That was an amazing throw.
Yeah, it was good stuff. Real quick, and I got to do this for Aaron. This is for TLC. Tell the truth.
Okay.
Does J.J. McCarthy still suck?
I'd say yes. We got some more. What, just because he won last night?
I'm just asking. Two good games in a row.
A career-high 250 yards.
Two good games in a row.
You know what? That week one performance, and Dylan, this is right up your alley because it was against your Bears. That Monday Night Football week one where, like, J.J. McCarthy played the most okay game ever, but just because the Vikings won. Wow, J.J. McCarthy, this rookie quarterback. And I'm like, I don't get. I got this thing where I can't like quit the guys who I thought were going to be really good prospects coming out of college. Mm. Trevor Lawrence being one of them. In fact, right when I quit Trevor Lawrence, now he's good again. So I'm back in. but I can't quit Caleb Williams. And I am so dug in against.
I'm in on Caleb J.J. McCarthy. Yeah, I'm in on Caleb as well. Look, you beat up on a bad Dallas defense, but the stats will tell you, he looked pretty good 2 weeks in a row for J.J. McCarthy. DT, appreciate you as always, man. Thanks for coming in. TLC, great to see you again.
You as well.
Coming up next, Common Man and Timmy will take you to 6 o'clock. Do not move. Stay safe out there. Stay warm. We love you. We'll talk to you tomorrow at high noon. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
Question from a listener. Do you dopes ever get tired of talking about Ohio State? No. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle. Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score.
Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. And app only.